Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, beautiful people. Bishop Randy Dean here with you for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values, as far as I'm concerned, they devolve into BS, as in bait and switch. So that's where I'm at. I just believe that love is the value for living life. It is the one secure place to hold on to life and humanity and living and rising above the rancor and the raucous of our world. Love alone is credible, somebody once said. I truly believe that the end of all things will be summed up in unarmed truth and unconditional love. That's what Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, and I am with him on that. So welcome to this episode where we talk about the pilgrimage, the marathon, the mountain climb of love. I have spent the better part of the last 4 years being here with you twice a week to discuss this and to teach this and to inspire this love. So I'm here today to take on a little bit of a different turn on this because I want to talk to you about loving God, and out of loving God, knowing that that kind of lifestyle will lead you to a pure and beautiful spirituality, and it'll lead you to a deepening relationship with humankind everywhere at all times. However, before we get to the meat of what today's broadcast is about, we're going to do what we do every time here, and that is we're going to recite what something I've written about 10 years ago I call Love's Creed. Love's Creed was for me a New Year's resolution, but then I edited and sharpened my pencil a little bit on it, and I came up with it as a creed for myself, and then I discovered it was good for others to follow along with me, and now it's become a staple right here. So what I'll do is I'll read it through in total, then I want to go back and have you repeat after me. I'll be doing a wedding here in a few weeks, and what I'll do with the nervous bride and groom is I'll offer them their vows, and I'll say, repeat after me. But in your case, I'll ask you just to listen to it through in total, and then I'll come back and give it to you in short bursts so you can repeat after me Love's Creed. Here's why we need to repeat things. We need to say them out loud as a reminder. Our mind captures words we say. Our mind is like a magnet for the conversations we have, but especially what we individually say out loud. And that's why I believe it's important to say a creed, to do the Pledge of Allegiance, to do those things that have significance for our life and our priorities. All right? Here's Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, if you'd like a copy of this, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy so that you could have this written on a 3x5 card, or you could put it in your phone or your iPad or your computer. You can see it regularly and repeat it for yourself. All right, now repeat after me Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right? I am committed to that creed, not just because I wrote it, but because it is massively valuable. It is massively important for us to hold to the very highest and best for our own good and for the good of others. So to that end, I want to reach for another massively valuable value. You know, we'll live what we value. When we value people, we'll live a reach for treating people well. When we have a value for money, well, then we'll spend our life trying to make money. When we value our home, you get what I'm saying. Whatever you value, you'll live in some way that is aimed at your value. Well, today I want to talk to you about a powerful value that is all through the Bible. The Bible is 66 books written over hundreds and hundreds of years. Well over 40 writers compiled the Bible. The Bible isn't I don't think it's the only way to come by truth, but I do believe the Bible contains the pillars of truth that can aim us in the right direction to find truth. For instance, the truth of the Bible aims us at Jesus Christ. And we know from John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, that in him was the Word from the beginning. He, Jesus, was the Word. And all the Bible points to the Word that is Christ. All right, I don't want to get too theologically in depth there, because I want to spend this time talking to you about loving God. How do we live our life at the most important value of all humankind? And that is a love for God. And I'm going to give you scripture references. You might want to have a pencil and paper out to write these notes down, because I don't have time here either to read all of these Bible references, but I do want you to look them up on your own time. But there's something that in the Jewish faith is called the Shema. S-H-E-M-A, the Shema, Shema, somebody may pronounce it in other means, but I pronounce it the Shema, which is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the highest command. I mean, this goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 6, Deuteronomy. And then it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Then it's repeated again in Deuteronomy 10 and Deuteronomy 11, Deuteronomy 13 and 22. And you get the point, right? It is all over. Chapter 30 as well. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your might and all your strength. In fact, Jesus was asked one time, how do I follow the law? And Jesus said, well, what do you read the law as? And then this person responded and said, well, he repeated the Shema. Hear, O Israel. And then Jesus said, there it is. You're so close to understanding everything I'm teaching about the kingdom of God. So to that end, I want to, again, give you the references. Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 30. It's repeated over and over again. You shall love the Lord your God. So what do we do as people of faith? What's the highest calling of life? Well, if you've been paying attention to me at all, you know I believe the highest calling of life is love. And then even in that, the highest calling of love is to aim love at God. My belief system says I don't even count faith in God as the highest value. I count loving God as my highest value. Because I believe when I aim at loving God. Now, in Alcoholics Anonymous, we refer to God as a power greater than ourselves, a higher power. And in that notion, I'm very comfortable with saying to people, look, if you don't want to believe the God that I have come to believe in, then I want to aim you at loving God or a higher power. Whatever you may consider a higher power in divine notions to be, I want you to start seeking to love this unknown higher power. Go ahead, give your life a little opportunity to love the unseen. And recognize, Albert Einstein said one time, either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. Now, this is a man who was extraordinarily intelligent, who had the opportunity to explore physics in a way that few human beings have any comprehension of. And he looked at the universe. He saw the universe as this expansive, eternal, beautiful miracle of time going, stretching out in all directions. Now, don't get me started because I'll go into a physics class with you too. But Einstein said either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. And he knew what he was talking about from a scientific, the theory of the physics theory of relativity, where he could see that there was something at play in all of matter. And I mean matter, like, you know, you can touch a table and that's matter. You can touch your own arm and say, yep, there's matter. These physical matter, something about physical matter that is a miracle. He expressed in one place, he said, you know, really, there is no such thing as tangible matter. He said, because everything is stretched out into this physical invisibility. Well, again, I could go on and on about this, but I just want you to understand that a higher power is over us somewhere, somehow. And even as a man of faith, I've been in a ministry for 50 plus years, and I'm going to tell you, I have more questions than I have answers, and I relish that because really faith is not my greatest value. I've simply discovered that love is the greatest value for the God I cannot see, because I recognize everything's a miracle. And in the miracle of everything, love is throbbing in the middle of all those physics, all of the physicality of the world that I stand on, and gravity holds me to the planet. An air that I didn't pay a dime for has struck my nose and gone into my lungs every day. What a wonderful, wonderful world. What a wonderful world, right? I'll start singing too. Go from the theory of relativity to what a wonderful world. But I'm telling you, love for God is the highest value. Loving God is a grand adventure of discovering a capacity within us for real spirituality. Let me say that again. Loving God is a grand adventure. Well, love is a grand adventure. I say this every week. Love is not some one event that you explore one day and then wake up and say, well, I got all the love figured out. I'm sorry, child. Listen to me. If that's the way you think, you are horribly mistaken. Love will take you all of life and all of eternity to discover. But I do believe that the path and the pursuit of loving God is a grand adventure. Of discovering a capacity for a genuine and authentic spirituality. See, spirituality isn't and shouldn't be Bible thumping. Spirituality shouldn't be just me telling you, well, when you're going to read in Deuteronomy 6, you'll hear the Shema. No, that's not spirituality. Those are reference points of how to discover spirituality. Spirituality isn't found in just putting your butt in a pew or going to a church service. And listen to me carefully. I've spent all of my adult life coming and going from church services, leading them, attending them, and urging people to find a church. Don't misunderstand me. But that isn't authentic spirituality. Authentic spirituality is rooted and carried like in a child would be carried in the arms of a mama. It's carried in love. Real spirituality is carried in love. And it's going to take all your life to explore that grand adventure. So listen to me when I say to you, our lives are about love and especially about discovering a love for a God we have never seen. So, and to that end, if you start aiming your life at loving God, beware, look out now. When you start aiming your life at loving God, if you need to hate anybody or any group of people, well, the love of God, our love for God, is just going to come after that inside of you like a laser beam, and it's going to seek to eliminate any level of hate we may carry. So beware, if you're loving God, if you're seeking to love God, well, that whole aura, that whole power of loving God is going to come after any level of hate that lives in us for anybody, for any reason. Because love is the sustaining power of life. And since it's the sustaining power of life, it's a sustaining beauty and foundation of spirituality. When we love, we're discovering a spiritual beauty. When we love, especially reaching for some love of this higher power we may call God, listen, all the beauty of all the universe starts to become it just becomes an atmosphere, a radiance around you. So living love as the sustaining power of life, and then knowing how to get love, well, that's pretty cool. But giving love, especially for God, is the most, it's the most beautiful expression of the human existence. Giving love for God, to say on some level every day, God, I love you. And see, when we start doing that, when we start saying, God, I love you, we're going to discover that that love relationship we're seeking to express and live is going to come back and root out, as I said a few moments ago, it'll root out hatred in us, but it'll also root up in us as this pursuit of seeing love and seeing the possibility of love all around us and giving it as a beautiful, magnificent place of growing when we love. When we love anything, I've said here before, it's about loving people, of course, but it's also about loving creation. St. Francis of Assisi used to walk through the woods and look at a tree and say, oh, brother tree, oh, sister tree, it's so good to see you. I love you. Loving every grain of dirt, loving every blade of grass, loving every tree in the rough bark that's on that tree, loving all the vista of the sky above you, loving, giving out love is what this grand adventure of life is all about. And when we know the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. I told you earlier I would give you other verses. I better go back to that. It's also in Joshua chapter 22. It's in Psalm 31 and Psalm 145. It's in Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31. That's the gospel reference I mentioned a minute ago about Jesus talking to somebody. And when he asked, he said, what's your reading of the law? How do you see it? And in Romans 8, 28, all things work together for the good of those who love God. Now hear me carefully when I say all things work together for the good of those who love God in Romans 8, 28. Doesn't mean that everything is supposed to have happened. No. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that because we love God, there's an alignment of life that starts to happen. Life becomes, again, a journey in a magnificent and gigantic roadway. And the roadway is called Love Boulevard. And on that boulevard of life, when love is being carried down that reach, then everything starts to be magnetized toward purpose. When we love regardless of the hate that comes at us, when we love regardless of the disappointments that beat us up, when we love no matter how we feel, what we've been treated by other folks. When we love, we are in that path of Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love God. So one last thought here on loving God. I'm going to say this, and it's been said here by me as it relates to loving people. But let me read it to you in a little paragraph I've written as it relates to God. The strength of love is the pursuit of the unknown. When we love, we reach beyond the obvious, and we're flying toward undiscovered dreams. Loving anyone, especially God, is the magnetic draw beyond all known perimeters. Loving God is the magnetic draw beyond all the known perimeters. And the strength of love is the pursuit of the unknown. I treat that with very, very, very high respect, the pursuit of the unknown. It's not to say that we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, we'll never know it all in this life. I don't like that way of thinking. I'm so much more curious than that. I want to spend my life seeking to know as much as I can with all the love that I can hold it in. So when I say reaching for love in this life is the pursuit of the unknown, I mean it's like a child that gets to go to school. You know, we're in the early days of school. Kids are going to public school right now. I'm recording this in early September. I do remember, now I was not a straight A student. I was a pretty good student, but I was not always the best student in a class. But I just always remember getting butterflies when I would walk into a classroom and see all the things on the chalkboard. You remember those, right? It was a chalkboard. And when you're looking at all the posters, I remember the first time I saw the alphabet on those little cards across the border of the top of above the chalkboard, and I didn't know what the alphabet was when I saw it the first time, but I looked at it and I wondered, what is that? I hope we learn what those symbols represent. That's really how I was looking at it, with this wide-eyed wonder. Let me tell you, love is the reach for the unknown that looks at life with wide-eyed wonder. Wide-eyed wonder at who is this higher power we call God? Who is this grand, divine, transcendent being who holds the universe in its completeness and in its magnificence? Who is this divine entrepreneur who fills the universe with the beauty and the power of his own joy and laughter? I have a saying that I believe in a dancing God, not a damning God. I don't believe in a God that damns humanity. I believe in a God who is in a dance with humanity, whoever they are and whatever their pains, miseries, or disappointments may be. And that dancing God has invited you. He's invited me, or she, however you want to view this higher power, has invited us to the dance floor. And the dance floor is love. Well, I'm running out of time, so let me bring this in for a landing and give you two final opportunities here to practice what I bring every week. And first is breathing well, the miracle of breathing. Einstein saying that everything's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. Do you know your breath is a miracle? You're not paying a dime to take in that lung full of air. That's been given to you free of charge. And the chemical makeup of it is a miracle. The way your lungs interact with air that you inhale, it's a miracle. Let's take that miracle for all it's worth for a moment, and let's breathe deeply. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Do you feel that miracle? The miracle of the exchange of air in your body. It helps to lower your blood pressure, helps to raise your awareness of the world around you, slows us down. Second thing I want to do with you is to practice the miracle of saying the most holy and charmed and beautiful words in the human language, whatever the language may be, whether it's Portuguese, Spanish, Latin, I don't care what the language is, or English. Those words are these: I love you. I want to invite you to the startling practice of slowing yourself down, finding your significant other, your wife, your child, your mama, your daddy, somebody. Look them right in the eye and say these beautiful, holy words: I love you. I want you to hear me saying it here on the radio. You can't see my eyes, but if I could look straight in your eyes, I would say it with this full intentionality: I love you. Well, let's rise and shine to the Shema, the Hero Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God. That's the call of all spirituality. That's the call of all religion. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's where it's all at. That's where all the law and the prophets and any teaching of any church or any religion, it's all right there. Love God. It's not even about believing or faith. It's about love God. And however you may envision God, your higher power, wherever it is that you've put a value on a divine being, love that divine being. Well, I'm so glad you came here today for this episode of No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I hope you heard that in the last 26 minutes. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love are not worth pursuing. They just devolve into bait and switch, which is BS. Now, I want to challenge you and invite you to go out there and do something beautiful in this world, because ugly, ugly is getting done to death. I'm alive to love, and my invitation to you is join me in being alive to love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.